What's up, Dialed fam? Happy Monday and welcome to the Dialed Health Podcast. My name is Derek Teal. I'm the owner and head coach here at dialedhealth.com. And typically this is where Amber would come in, introduce herself, but it's actually just me today because I'm recording this over the weekend. In fact, pretty dang last minute, to be honest. But I'm doing that to tell you why we are reposting an episode that we recorded just over a year ago. And that's because I have a problem, you guys. I like to add things onto my schedule and just keep adding and piling it on without accommodating for it in any sort of way, or just understanding that, you know what, maybe I need to not do this thing this week so that this new thing has time. Because in my head, I got it, man. It's just gonna be a busier week than normal. I'm gonna pile it on. But the reality is, if there was two of me and everything went perfect, I still probably couldn't get that crazy list that I set out to do done. And this week is really a great example of that because I planned our first Why Ride, which is a brand new series that we're doing, on the same days that we typically record the podcast, which should prove that the podcast simply got cut out this week because of timing and certainly not because of importance. In fact, the podcast has become more and more important to me as time goes on. I just feel like it represents our business very well, and I love doing it. So that is why we don't have a fresh episode. If you are not familiar with the Why Rides, we are going to break it down in detail on the podcast very soon. We've hinted at it on Instagram, and some people have seen the first ride that I did from it, which was this Wednesday. We actually went out to the Northern California coast, had a road route that was 155 miles, over 16,000 feet of climbing, and on some of the most diverse road conditions I have ever ridden. In fact, without a doubt, the most rough, beat up, tooth chattering road I have ever been on my road bike was on this route. And it happened to be about 145 miles in. So I'll just leave that with you guys because there's a lot more content to come. In fact, a YouTube video that is going to be incredible. And I'm not trying to put any pressure on our videographer, but the scenery, the weather conditions, the diversity and just geography from the mountains to the coast, it was unreal. The ferns, the rivers, it just kept going. So we had an awesome day, and I hope by the time that content comes out, it makes up for us not having a new episode for you this week because we're really striving to bring you a wider variety of topics in health, strength training, cycling on this podcast ongoing. Now, with that being said, we have a couple really exciting interviews teed up in the future. But for this week, we're going to dive into one of our most popular episodes, which goes over porn. In fact, my personal experience with porn, and I'm really proud to say that my viewpoint and just position on this in general has not changed in the last year since this was recorded. And I think it's really going to give you some insight into how much it affects mental health and the connections there and the connections to society that really are kind of swept under the rug. So I'm stoked about that conversation. I hope it's not too awkward for you guys, but it's just pretty real. And so is fat loss. Now, we also talk about appetite suppressants, more specifically foods that you can eat to help with your fat loss journey. At the time of this recording, I was 2 weeks into the shred of 2021. And funny enough, this was recorded and put out less than a week from when my twins were born. So it's just a crazy blast from the past for me. But I really love the information in this episode, including the indoor cycling recommendations in this episode. You can tell that we changed our format a little bit. We used to go over a lot more different topics. It was a little bit hectic, to be honest. That's why we changed it. But there are multiple things going on in this episode. And hopefully you can take some gold nuggets from each one of these topics. So without further ado, let's dive into the episode. It is week two of the Dialed Health Shred, and I want to get into these strategies that you can take into the week, kind of give you some things to expect along the way so it's not going to blindside you because I am a few days ahead of you guys in the process. But before I do that, I just want to give you a genuine thank you. And this could even tie into a strategy you can use, but this is really all about accountability. Really, me having this job is the ultimate accountability. And I know that other trainers can tweak it. I do know very successful trainers that aren't in the best shape. But for me, doing this and nailing it to a T with you guys has been so important. I mean, I don't think I've eaten one food this entire month so far that I haven't tracked. And I was really trying to think about that. Has there been anything that I've eaten that I didn't know exactly what was in it and track it? And the only thing I could say, you could say maybe I didn't track was that popcorn or something that I had, but I already knew I had the budget for it. I knew what the calories were. I knew what I had left, and I just didn't input it. That's the closest I've come, seriously. And my wife is torturing me, by the way. She made this woman, okay, you ready for this? She made homemade banana bread with chocolate chips and pecans and like a brown sugar topping. And even, so she made it yesterday. And even today I had a trainer road ride. It was a savage 90 minute sweet spot session. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna burn 1300, 1400 calories on this ride. So I'm gonna definitely have room for it. But the problem was, we could not figure out what a serving was. A serving on their recipe just said one slice. There was no weight or anything like that. It gave you all the macro breakdown, but it didn't give you the weight. I was like, literally all of this information is worthless unless I have the weight. And although I could fit it in and stay in a deficit, I wouldn't know. I just wouldn't know 100%. And because I want to nail this, I want to give you my best 30-day results. And I also don't want to have any excuses. I chose not to eat it. I said, you better freeze half of this, because when this is over, I'm not trying to go crazy and eat a ton of it and gorge on it. I'm just saying I know I can fit it in. But when I'm going to be a little looser, eating more towards maintenance, it doesn't matter if it's an extra 100 calories or not, or 100 calories less. It's probably not going to be less, but you know what I mean by that. So anyways, thank you for the accountability. If you feel like you need some pressure to perform, tell your friends about it. Post on social media that you are doing this. You have to own it, and people are going to ask you about it. And if no one's checking in on you, it's going to be tough. If you need to email me and say, hey, I just want to let you know these are my results, yada, yada, I'm going to be expecting a follow-up. And I really want you to know I have your back in that way. And hopefully the accountability of the community, or just knowing that other people are experiencing the hunger, they're experiencing the stress and the confusion and the added effort it takes to input your food and just go through this transition, I hope that supports you enough to know that you're just not alone going through it. And I really, really challenge you to end this month in the best place possible, because it's coming up quick. We're already, as you're listening to this, it's at least the 13th. We're like halfway through the month. It's gonna be over before you know it. So I want you to absolutely nail this. Remember, you guys, do not interrupt the process, okay? Let's nail this. At this point of the process, you're on one or two sides of the fence. There's really no middle ground. You're either committed and you're learning and you're getting results, or you're digging your heels in and you're focusing on all the reasons why this might not be for you. There really is no try. There is no, oh my gosh, as I said the word try, my buddy Chaz popped in my head. I'm gonna come back to that, Chaz, sorry. But basically, you are committed in learning, which doesn't mean perfection. If this is your first time through, as I mentioned on the last pod, there's so much that could stop you from pulling off the numbers you need to hit each day. Whereas you go through your fat, or you didn't grocery shop, or some event came up or activity that you just forgot included food. There's all these things that will prevent you from maybe nailing it a certain day, but it doesn't mean you're not committed and not trying. Those people are seeing those issues come up and saying, okay, how can I change this in the future? Now, the people who are digging their heels in, they are seeing those things as like, oh my gosh, I can't not do this. Like, if I didn't have this, then I won't be happy. And I know that's kind of an extreme assumption, but that's kind of what you're thinking. So I want you to remember, when you are food tracking, it's for clarity. There's no trying. You are not trying to food track. You're either doing it or you are not doing it. That's it. And again, doing it doesn't mean perfection, but it means that you are fully committed. Now, I laugh because I rode with my buddy Chaz this weekend. Shout out to you, Chaz. By the way, this guy, just giving him a quick shout out, he is in the middle of a career transition, a very risky one, and he's still crushing two-a-day workouts. He has a one-year-old toddler, and the dude is tracking his food, and he said, I asked him about Dial Health Shred and yada yada, I can't really remember how it came up in our ride, but he said, oh yeah, I'm trying to track all my food. And I right away was like, what do you mean trying? And his explanation was, he's like, I've been tracking everything, but I went to one friend's house for dinner, they made a beautiful meal, I couldn't track it. And I'll say, like, those are types of things you might have to give up if you're in the learning process. I know that he's advanced, and he, you know,
if that one little thing, there's not as much riding on it as it might be for me, really trying to lead this process or whatever. So for him to accurately guess what is in the meal, it's not even really, it's a very educated guess. He's fine. He's doing great. He's crushing it. We did a 70-mile, 6,000-foot ride. And I don't want that to contradict what I said earlier, but I want you to know that that did come up. And it was a funny thing, and I'm happy it kind of sparked this conversation, because there really is no such thing as try. You're nailing it or you're not nailing it. So food for thought, Chaz, whichever one you want. So this weekend on that ride, this is very interesting. Now, this comes into the performance side of what we're doing, which is fueling our workouts while maintaining a deficit and staying in fat loss. Now, I did a 70-mile ride this weekend, burned 3,000 calories. It was like 6,000 feet of climbing. And basically, you get that extra, you know, if I'm in a 500 calorie deficit, I'm like, I can eat, for me, that'd be up to 4,500 calories, actually up to 4,700 calories, which I'll talk about in a second. But I'm like, okay, I can basically eat whatever I want today, right? So I still tracked everything just to make sure I was getting close to my deficit. And there's even been like a day last week where I went into a 700 calorie deficit just because I felt pretty good. And I didn't feel like I really needed the food. And I think I just went to bed earlier or something. But I tracked everything to be sure. And oh my gosh, I'm not even drinking alcohol. I'm still doing the dry January. And man, I'm just sorry. All these rants are coming up because the dry January is a whole nother topic I haven't really talked about. But basically, there's no alcohol involved. I started tracking my food. And I kid you not, I pre-inputted certain things I planned on eating that afternoon, which was like a double cheeseburger, a pint of ice cream, like all these things I've kind of wanted the last like 10 days. Guess what? I would have overeaten my calories still. So what I actually had planned to eat for that afternoon and what I would have ate previously without tracking would have put me up to like 5,200 calories for the day. I kid you not. This is the type of thing or the type of habits I have preset in my system. As I've talked about it to death at this point, but I just grew up on nacho cheese and Krispy Kreme and freaking fruit by the foot, okay? And so for me to eat 5,200 calories isn't that insane when I really think about the types of food I'm taking in, because it was so normal for me for such a long time. But now tracking, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is how I can ride, you know, 200 miles in a weekend. Let's just say, for example, I don't know. We'll just say I could do 10 hours of riding in one weekend and not lose any fat that weekend. It's bonkers, but this is it because I can still out eat it. And obviously I'm eating a ton on my rides, but it was just a really interesting thing. So I'm very happy I tracked, and I want you to know that if you're in that position, you know, you're not alone. That's how I feel too. There are a lot of people that also tend to under eat. I can't relate as much on that, but either way, tracking is gonna point you to the ultimate goal. So what I had to do was stop eating my fries a little bit early from my burger meal, and I could only eat half of my pint of ice cream. Now, what's crazy is even though I was a little over 500 calories in my deficit still from that day, I had eaten so much food that day. And I just felt kind of gross. I felt a little bloated. I couldn't tell if I was actually out of a deficit or not. The numbers said no. I just didn't feel quite right. So it took actually through the next day to feel like myself again. And I don't know, I just, that was an interesting one for me. So I'm still gonna do more research, and I'll say I'm totally on track. In fact, today I felt incredible. This is kind of my next topic. But it took just another day for me to feel really tight and lean and get all that bloat away after all that food. I think in the future, what I would do, honestly, is maybe even be okay with like a 1,000 calorie deficit, maybe eat a little healthier foods in the afternoon, maybe stuff that's dense in calorie, but maybe just a little cleaner, and see how that would have felt for me. And maybe even just said no dessert. So, or just kept it to even a more simple dessert than ice cream. So anyways, that's what I'm considering for the future. Food for thought, no pun intended. Now, with that being said, the next day I was definitely back into a deficit, not bloated anymore. And today, when I got on the trainer ride, I felt freaking incredible. Really, it was the easiest 300 watts I've ever felt. I did sweet spot intervals. They're all around 300 watts. And I don't know, man, it was wild. My heart rate was super controlled, a little low the whole time. I just felt really, really good. and I'm still obviously in the deficit, but fueling the workouts, and it was kind of encouraging. So I just want to let you know that you could have some really good high performance days, even though you are going through this process. Now, you're going to also have some bad days. You really will. But the high performance isn't out of the question. And I just feel, I'm starting to feel light. I'm starting to feel tight. I just want to point out that I know I'm talking a lot about just my own personal experience, but I'm doing it with you in mind. I'm doing it in hopes that you will interpret this and relate it back to how you have felt along this process. So I'm talking about myself, but I'm thinking of you the whole time, truthfully. And I want to talk about how I've adjusted my macros in the last few days. Actually today, as I'm recording this, so this is Tuesday the 12th. You're listening to this probably on Wednesday the 13th or later. I ended up dropping my calories and adjusting my macros because I hit a plateau. Now, let me give you a timeline and tell you exactly why I'm doing this. So when I started the Dialed Health Shred this year, which was January 1st, officially tracking, I actually gave myself 200 extra calories because I remember the last time I had tracked, it was really difficult for me. Like I felt super hungry, like more than I should have. And that was after implementing more riding than I've ever been used to. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give myself a little extra calories because I know it's gonna work initially, but I'll keep that in mind. And now I realize, oh my gosh, I added those calories. It's time to tweak. So within the first like 6 days of the shred, I lost 4 pounds. And then at the end of the first week, I was 5 pounds down, so I went from 159 to 154. Of course, we know that's not all fat. It's some fat. It's a little bit of muscle, but it's a lot of bloat and really a lot of kind of almost like detox through the intestines and everything. It's just weight you don't need, right? So basically, I lose the initial 5 pounds, and then I'm just holding the weight kind of through the last 4 days. And then I went through that bloat with the ride, and I realized, oh man, I added those extra couple hundred calories. And in fact, about this time when I got my leanest, which was like 7% body fat, it was about this 154 range that I had to adjust my macros and add protein and take away carbs very subtly. So I was like, oh gosh, I'm already there because I didn't have to start from such a heavy point. Initially, the first time I tracked, I was up in the upper 160s and I got down to like 151. And this time I started at 159. So I got there quicker and it's time to readjust. And this brings a great point that I wanted to talk about today, which is as you get leaner, you're gonna have to tighten it up to keep progress. Now, it really depends on your starting point, but literally the more body fat you have to lose, the less you have to do to lose it. The less body fat you could physically lose, the more you have to do to lose it. It really is a progressive process, and that's just the honest truth. I wish it wasn't that way for your sake, but it's the reason why someone who, let's just say, is 350 pounds that drinks a 6-pack of soda every day and eats McDonald's 3 times a day could just stop eating McDonald's and lose 20 pounds, or just stop drinking 6 sodas, still go to McDonald's, but still lose 20 pounds or whatever it may be. Now, that'll get them to that point, but they might have to start eliminating the next after that. And it's just this gradual progression where you get to a better and better diet. So for me, I have to get to a point where I now drop my calories from 2,200 down to 2,000, which is my, I would say, true active BMR. And then instead of having 50% carb, I'm dropping it down to 45%, so very subtle. And I'm taking my protein from 25% up to 30. And I'm doing that because the extra protein is gonna ensure that my body holds on to as much muscle mass as possible through this process, but it also really helps fill you up. Eating protein just keeps your stomach in a little bit more of a dense feeling, which isn't always great when you're eating a lot of food, but when you're kind of a little hungry, having a little more dense feeling in your stomach is great. And this is why, you know, adding water to your diet, which we'll talk about next, can also help. It just gives you this kind of feeling of fullness. And that mild tweak of just a little bit less carbs, a little bit more protein, and 200 less calories, I experienced it yesterday. Holy smokes, it was legit. I could feel it. And honestly, as difficult as it was to make it through the night, because I had finished all of my calories by 7 o'clock, and I'll be honest, I was still a little hungry, and I just had to go the rest of the afternoon. with, you know, until I went to bed a little hungry. And my main meal that night was like 5 p.m. And then I had a little popcorn at 7 and I was like, oh my gosh. Like, again, for me, I'm still learning. I didn't really time it out correctly. So yeah, I'm excited because I felt like I woke up super lean. And honestly, just to be transparent, I looked at myself in the mirror today and I was like, whoa. You know, the scale didn't say anything different today, but I physically look different and I know my body composition is changing. So hopefully tomorrow I see the numbers start to drop a little bit more. But you know what? If it takes another day or two, I'm not going to readjust until I can prove that I'm either still at the plateau or it's actually working. I think it should work, but we'll see. I'll keep you posted on the process. We'll probably touch base on that next week. Now, with all that being said, I'm making subtle changes. I'm staying committed to the process. I want you to know that people are really hitting a stride right now. You know, it as difficult as I'm talking about it being, people are freaking losing weight. And not only losing weight, but I've had someone in particular, shout out to you, Quincy. I know hopefully you're listening right now, but you brought up how you are in like one of the best mental states that you've been in a very long time. And that's the reason why I'm choosing to do this when the month my twins are going to be born. Like, as I'm recording this, you guys, just so you know, I have two twin boys that could be born any day. Now, it's my wife's going to be either induced or sent to a C-section or something if she doesn't have these kids within like a week. In fact, I'd be very surprised if I didn't have kids the next time I record a podcast, which is insane. It's possible. We'll see. But we're ready. And I chose to do it this month because it's easy to think of all the reasons that you maybe wouldn't want to do something, right? Like, oh, I'm having these twins and there's so much to do and blah, blah, blah. It's going to be just too much. And yeah, but the reality is the discipline that you gain from the tracking process bleeds into other areas. And not only that, but like dry January for me is great because I'm not going to be getting as much sleep. And when you don't drink alcohol for an extended period of time, you are way sharper. You have less fog, especially if you don't get a full night's sleep. It's like the biggest thing I've noticed from not drinking alcohol. You wake up sharper, you're sharper later at night. Even when you're tired, your brain is just sharper. You can think more clearly. And I was joking with Lish last night as we're doing a little walk around the block trying to get her into labor. I was drinking this Zevia soda. And I was like, man, I wish this was a beer right now. And I was like, I feel so good and I feel so sharp, but I hate to say it, but I want a little fog right now. I want to just chill a little bit, you know? And that's kind of the truth. But when you look at it in that sense, it's like, okay, you're very disciplined here. The alcohol is going to help me with these twins in the middle of the night. And then I'm also just not going to be fixated on food as much. It's just not as important because when you're trying not to think about food, you know, you're not really planning the next meal or whatever. So in a lot of ways, it's a great time to do this. And just like Quincy's experiencing, like that discipline he's having, the self confidence he's building from achieving the goals he wants is bleeding into other areas. And when you give people, when you are focused on the best version of yourself, you're giving that to other people. Your family's getting the best version of you. The world, your job, everything is getting your best, not just you. So it's not as selfish as some people think. All right, so keep that in mind. I'm really stoked for everyone who's participating right now. I think we're gonna have some awesome before and afters. By the way, next week or maybe the fourth week, I am gonna give you some tips on how to take the best after photo, which is kind of like a goofy but fun conversation that I think you'll be really happy with. So I will check in back next week. Hopefully by then I officially have 3 kids. It'll be insane. All right, let's jump into the first question.
Hope you're enjoying the episode. Wanted to take a second and let people know about Dialed Health in case they're not familiar. Dialed Health is strength training for cyclists, and we provide programs and workouts online for you to do off of the bike. In fact, our programs and workouts all include mobility, and it's something that we don't talk about as much as we probably should. Essentially, our goal is to provide every single piece of training that you need off of the bike to have the best rides on the bike possible. That's why we exist. It's what we want to do. And we want to also give you more well-rounded health information in regards to nutrition, mental health, strategies you can do for recovery. We provide that through the programs and the workouts on the website, along with blog posts and some other members-only content that you can find there. Now, don't worry if you don't have a gym membership, that's totally okay. We have programs that have zero equipment required or single pieces of equipment and full programs with an assortment of free weights that you would find at a gym or a very well built out gym in at someone's home. But the biggest difference between us and other general fitness brands out there is that we specifically make our programs so that they're only 2 days a week, maybe 3 days a week, but it's dependent on how much you ride, and it actually takes that into account. As the trainer and owner of this brand, I understand what it's like to have a high volume riding schedule, and I do prioritize my time on the bike. You know, that's where I want to shine and that's where I want to feel the best. But I also want to feel good as just a human and be out of pain, be strong, be stable, and be able to just feel healthy. And it's hard to feel that way when you're putting in a lot of time on the bike, let alone trying to add a crazy workout routine on top of your already pretty strenuous riding schedule. And that's what we accommodate for. And I'm really proud of how we do it. And if you need any assistance on choosing a program, use the program questionnaire on our website. And we look forward to not only making you the best cyclist possible, but also the happiest, healthiest human. Start moving forward, dialedhealth.com, get a membership today.
We're now talking about appetite suppressants, and this topic really came up because of some feedback I got from the last podcast. Now, this is from Dialed Fam member who's doing the Dialed Health Shred. His name's @Jed_Myers. By the way, has had an insane weight loss journey even before I've known him. So I'm very happy to be with him through this process where he's adding all this riding to his calendar and strength training. So here's what he said. That day three hunger hit me like a brick wall yesterday, but I know that it means that it's working. Having your feedback a few days ahead of time is awesome. Two things that helps me with cravings. One is bone broth. The other is apple cider vinegar at night that helps curb that desire to get into the kids' snacks, probably because it's so damn nasty. LOL. It was pretty funny. Now, I will say the first time I had apple cider vinegar, I think I did a tablespoon mixed with like half a glass of water, almost pooped my pants within half an hour, literally running to the bathroom. I remember I was leaving somewhere and I walked down the stairs and I clicked my seatbelt on in my car, and right away I'm like, nope, unclick, walked back up to my place and had to handle some business. So you are warned on that one, but it's a great detox, and a lot of people even drink it first thing in the morning, or they'll do like a lemon squeeze or something like that. That's a cool one to look into. I haven't tried the bone broth, but I love the general idea of eating something that maybe just kind of gets your taste buds in a weird spot. And you know, a lot of people will brush their teeth immediately after their last meal, and especially when they know they don't have any calories left, and that does make a difference. I mean, we all know how it is to try and eat after you brush your teeth. It doesn't taste as good. And so there's a lot of other strategies I want to get into. Now, the first thing I have to bring up is just drinking water. I kind of mentioned with the protein talk earlier that it gives you just this dense feeling in your stomach, and it really does. And I don't want you to make yourself sick. Like if you chug a bunch of water, sometimes you can feel a little nauseous. But last night, for instance, I remember I was feeling so hungry, and I did, because of the macro switch I talked about earlier, I just filled up a mason jar, chugged 24 ounces, chugged it. Right away, I was like, whoa, that was a lot of water, but it really helped fill me up and at least got me by the next half an hour. And with all that water, I've also gotten this feedback. You might've seen on Instagram, someone made a nice little jingle about how much you have to pee after all this water. And that is a very true thing. Now, between the water and between the fact that you want something to sip on that's like low calorie, if not a zero calorie, one option you can do is just add electrolytes to your water. Now, this is something I've been doing more frequently, even on days where I don't ride. You know, this might be in a strength workout or even on off days when I just literally want something to sip on. I know I'm taking in all this water. I might as well try and pull as much from it in regards to absorption as possible. So add some electrolytes in, and that can help. And this is where I hit a little plug for some sponsors that have been helping me out. Pinnacle Nutrition Group, PNG, are the electrolytes that I use. And if you want to go try them out, you can. There's like 20 calories for a serving for electrolytes, and it's got coconut water and all these natural ingredients. It just tastes great. In fact, my favorite one now is the watermelon cucumber. And at first it was the blueberry acai, which is also really good. But one of the guys at PNG said, if you add sea salt to your watermelon cucumber, it tastes delicious. It's like a salted watermelon. And I tried that, and I am hooked on it. So I recommend trying that. If you check out with code all caps dialedfam30, saves you 30% off. And obviously I know it's like a little shameless plug, but I hope it helps you out. It's great product. I even use their energy gels, and truthfully it will not only help with cravings, but it'll help you retain some of that water even better. So I think it's just a very organic way and time to kind of mention that for you guys. So I'll leave it in the show notes below. You can check out that discount code, but yeah, try that out. I think that's a nice little tip for you, so you're not just drinking like Crystal Light, you know. And I will say, I'm not against artificial sweeteners. I'm really not. I understand the benefit they can have, especially in processes like this. Do I know that it's not ideal? Yes. There's a difference between like high quality and low quality food versus high calorie and low calorie food. You could have a low calorie, low quality food, like let's just say an energy drink. I just drank one this afternoon. It was freaking delicious. And honestly, it was very satisfying. And that brings me to kind of the next point. So caffeine and bubbles. Caffeine and bubbles help a lot. So bubbly water in general can be very satisfying, kind of settle your stomach, kind of fill up your stomach a little bit. The flavors can be enjoyable. You know, it's a nice thing to sip on when you're trying to maybe fill up your stomach a little bit or curb your appetite. Also anything with caffeine, basically the caffeine, at least from my understanding and my experience, it's the energy loss that you can get sometimes when you're feeling a little bit hungry, when you're sitting in that deficit, that the caffeine replaces. And it kind of like tricks your body into feeling like you don't need the carbs or the food in general. And I only point out carbs because we know those are like a quick energy source. So that's why caffeine can be so great. And whether it comes through coffee or an energy drink, you know, you could add some almond milk or like a fat-free milk to your coffee, and then it's probably going to be 30 calories max for your serving, as long as it's unsweetened, and maybe even less, maybe even like 10 calories. And just that little bit of fat in there could also help out the process. Now, it was cool getting some feedback from other members. In fact, Lisa Tung went, she just told me that she goes for a walk before lunch, and that helps her avoid snacking. And that brought up a whole other thing. I was like, oh my gosh, like you could literally just pick a time where you were going to eat and do a short activity to get your mind off it. So going for a walk before lunch to avoid snacking, I thought that was a great tip. Two tips that have helped me in the last couple weeks. One has been waiting as long as possible to eat breakfast in the morning. I usually wait a few hours because I wake up and drink coffee and do social posting and all this stuff. And the longer I can wait for breakfast, the easier the rest of my day is gonna go. I'm not really personally into intermittent fasting, but I do understand that concept of kind of pushing it back to save your calories as long as you can. It is not a bad idea. Also, one thing I like to do in the afternoon, I did this last night, you know, I will eat an entire bag of broccoli, like 100 calories of broccoli. It's going to be, we're talking like 12 ounces or something along those lines. And what I'll do is steam it in the bag. I throw it on a pan, I roast it, and as soon as I'm really feeling hungry for dinner, that's the first thing I'll do is cook up all my veggies. So broccoli is just the example because I had it last night. And as I'm cooking the rest of my dinner, I kind of just snack on the broccoli out of the pan. Like I just go full savage mode, grab it with my hands, eat it. And it really just helps me not feel so ravenous coming in the next meal because my stomach's pretty dang full. And it also just is kind of like that little bit of snacking, satisfying. I have some really good hot sauces I've been putting on it. That's another thing, hot sauce. A lot of salsas are super low calorie. Just make sure there's no like cream added in them. If something's super chunky with bell pepper, those can add up with carbs sometimes. But those are all little tips that I do that I hope that you can take into the week to kind of curb your appetite in general into the rest of your life. Experiment with these things and see what could really replace a snack, aka, you know, 300 calories or even more. This next question is from @Adam_Massimo. And before I tell you what it is, I got to say, I was just on Adam's podcast, actually. It posted today, and it's called the Growth Swag Podcast, where he interviewed me very specifically about the business back end of Dialed Health, really what my intentions are in the future, what I had to go through this last year. And I know I talk about the business very transparently through this own podcast or platform. He asked me some questions, and we got into stuff I have never talked about before, and it was very therapeutic, to be honest. So Adam, thank you for having me on your podcast. If you guys want to go check out the Growth Swag podcast. I posted a link, and you know, I'll just leave a link in the show notes below, and we're gonna have all sorts of links up in there. All right, so here is his question. He says, I'm a vegetarian and trying to lean out slash shred, but find two challenges. First, getting enough lean protein to make it work and not starve. Second, and most important for me right now, are there guidelines I can follow to use carbs to fuel big rides without undermining the leaning out slash shred? Now, the second half of that question was addressed on last week's episode, but basically the answer is that you need to just surround your workouts with carbs. And by that, I mean before, have a higher carb meal than you typically would if you weren't working out. During the workout, you want to fuel it, especially your rides taking on carbs. And then after, you know, you could probably get through like a strength session without any intra-workout calories. But then after, you want to have a higher carb meal to help you recover. And then as soon as you're out of that workout window, you go back to your normal meals. And you do that because your carbs are going to support the workout, but you're also burning more calories still through the exercise. So you get the recovery, you get the performance, and then you can get right back into a deficit with your next meal. And it's probably going to be a lower calorie meal, something that you would eat not around a workout. So that's in general what you would do. But if you want more details, especially how your macros are going to adjust, which is okay, go and check out last week's episode. Now, the first part of the question, I'm sure there are some vegans and vegetarians listening to this right now, and they're just like slamming their head against the wall because without a doubt, the biggest argument to that diet is like, oh, you can't get enough protein. And you can, you have to be a little bit more, well, a lot more strategic, to be honest. It's not as easy, but it's very possible. But here is what I would say, without getting too into this long list of high protein vegetables and food options and complementary carbohydrates and all this stuff, complementary proteins. The first thing I always recommend to people in this situation is get a plant-based or a vegan protein powder. Just do it. I recommend everyone get a protein powder, but especially if you're struggling with protein intake, whether you're vegan or not, there's people with all sorts of diets who can struggle to get enough protein in, and they find that out once they start tracking. And really having a supplement, it makes things so much easier, especially while you figure out some other foods that can maybe help support you through your day. Because I understand most people just want to eat whole foods, and I think that's a very great thing to shoot for, but there's nothing wrong with adding this supplement to your diet because you're already putting, I would say, I don't want to say non-human demands on your body, but if we're talking very natural, you know, in the space, organic, you want to be like, I don't want to get into like the caveman conversation and your ancestors or whatever, the riding you're doing is very different from, I would just say, normal human demands on a body. I'm not saying there aren't very physical demands on your body just purely for survival, but sweet spot based intervals. You ever done those? You ever done some Bulgarian split squats? Okay, think about that. You might want a little bit of extra to support it. And I just think that adding the protein powder is the simplest, easiest, most effective way to do it, even if it's only temporary or something that you use in a bind, which is also totally okay. Now, I choose to use Kyoku, which is a bicyclist, four cyclist brand. It's not just a plant-based protein powder. It's actually a superfood blend as well. It's almost like getting a super greens powder and a protein blend in one. It's incredible. And they also personalize it for your own needs. So you go on their website, you take a little quiz, and it not only adjusts the macros, but it adjusts the micronutrients for you. Like my micros are very focused on anti-inflammatory. So it's really cool. Go check that out. If you do decide to buy it, use code all caps dialed fam, and that saves 15% off the first month. Super stoked to be partnered with those guys. I'm obsessed with their product. Their packaging's great, super cool. And the guys behind the scenes who are making it all run are just rad, rad dudes. Now, the other option is Ghost Lifestyle. And there, of course, are a ton of other options, but Ghost Lifestyle is by far the best tasting protein outside of Kyoku that I've tried. They have also more flavor options, which is cool. It's more affordable. You're getting less. Like, it's just basically this protein powder. There's no superfood blend. The quality's not quite there on the level of Kyoku. I mean, Kyoku's like the peak, but it's very way more affordable. And so like it all balances out. It's kind of just where you're at with the process. So I recommend both. I'm not affiliated with Ghost. That's just before I found Kyoku, that's what I used basically. So go check out their vegan protein powders. Those are fully vegan and not just plant-based. I know there's some subtle differences there. So go check those out. Our next question is from Kristen Algieri. She wrote in and said, "Hey, I love your podcast. I'm not sure if you've discussed it already, but if you could discuss the best trainer setup for indoor MTB training, as in Zwift or similar platforms, what kind of trainer do you use, etc." Now, I want to give you exactly what my setup is and what my experience has been. Basically, I have a Tax Flux 2 trainer. So the brand, it's TAC. It looks like TAC X or TAX. I think it's TAX. you can find them on Instagram, TAC Experience. It's like TAC Experience, basically. And their Flux 2 is like their middle range model. Now, I will say, I've tried the Neo 2, I believe it is, or the Neo, whatever their higher end one. It is so freaking sick. It is sick. If you are using an app like Zwift or something where you have this live avatar riding through these landscapes and everything, if you get that super high end turbo trainer, it actually simulates how you feel while you're riding over certain surfaces. So there's a cobblestone setting, there's a sand, there's ice, there's wooden planks, and it's like, I don't know how they do it, but it feels exactly like that. For example, if you're on the ice setting and you just all of a sudden put down huge power, it'll actually slip, like your back wheel's like slipping and you know, you fully lost traction. So it's really crazy how it feels. And I think that experience together is super cool. And that's kind of like the high end option there in regards to just like simulating outdoor riding. It even has this kind of like side to side rock in it, which is kind of cool. But I got the model below it, which is the Flux 2, and there's even a model below that one. And I'll be honest, because I don't use like a Wahoo kicker where I need the elevation, I'm not on there doing 1200 watt sprints. Like honestly, like all my sprints are usually around 6-7, maybe a little over 700 watts. So I actually didn't really need the Flux 2. I could have gotten the more basic model, which was like half the price, and it wouldn't have prevented me from doing any of the training I've done over the last year. And right now I'm working up towards like 5 watts per kilo, and I'm at 4.7 currently. And I don't say that as like a weird flex. I just say it because, you know, I'm at a higher end of training or like a higher level of training, and I'm still not really using all these features. And part of that too, though, is because of the focus training program I'm on. So the actual program I use is Trainer Road. I'm very vocal about it on Instagram. I mean, this product is incredible. They have such focused rides, and your ability to easily set up a plan or do a random workout and, you know, test your FTP and just have that schedule clarity is, I think, second to none, honestly. And it doesn't have some of the same features as Zwift. Like, it's very different setup. You're kind of like, unless you're doing a group ride, you're looking at a graph basically. So like when I'm on the trainer, I have my phone set up on my little stand, and I have my Trainer Road graph, and then I have a YouTube computer screen in front of me or something like that. And I know a lot of people will watch Netflix or whatever it may be as they're doing their rides, but I would honestly recommend Trainer Road specifically. There's a lot of Dialed Fam members, I'm sure even probably listening right now, that use Trainer Road. And my ability to program strength workouts with your Trainer Road workouts is so seamless. It's so much easier and it's so much more clear. And I will also say I also use the product, so I just really understand the ins and outs of that. So what I would recommend is really getting a low-end smart trainer, one that, you know, you could, I'm lucky. I have a separate bike that I can just leave on it and the back wheel's off. I think they call it, was it just direct mount? I can't forget the term for it, but basically back wheel is off. It's hooked on the trainer and I'm using Trainer Road, and that's what I would recommend. Now, Trainer Road has a really cool article on like the best smart trainers you can buy that are the most affordable, especially if you're really just getting into it. So you can check out that. Also, link in the bio. I mean, check me out right now. I got all these links up in there. So yeah, go check that out. I hope it helps. And I would just say that you really shouldn't feel the need to do all of these crazy, like high-end products right off the bat. And I guess I'll just give you the options. So Trainer Road is what I'd recommend. That's what I use. I know a lot of guys at the company. It's just their community around the brand. They've got it figured out. And in a lot of ways, I'm learning from them and kind of trying to model Dialed Health after what they're doing. So Trainer Road, awesome resource. You'll learn a ton using the product and getting plugged into their community. You have Zwift, which everyone freaking knows at this point. It's like huge, really cool for a lot of the features like the avatars and group rides and stuff like that. And just the general connection you can get with other people riding at the same time. And then there's brands that I'm not as familiar with that I'm pretty sure do the same kind of thing. So like Sufferfest is another brand. And then you could probably list off, I'm sure there's people listening that can list off more, but those are kind of the ones that I know. So check those out, refer to the article in the description, and that'll help you at least start your shopping. We're now jumping into the conversation about porn and really how it affects your mental health. That's kind of how we tied this thing in under the umbrella of Dialed Health so that it makes sense. And here's how it came up. So I'm not trying to hit you with just some like random clickbait or something totally off the wall, but I was reading Men's Health, which is one of my faves. And I mean, I'm just a side note. If you open up a Men's Health, I'd like to think that it very much represents who I am, minus the bike riding. You know, you got nice expensive lotions and creams, you got fitness, you got foods, you got alcohol. It's all the stuff I like. Okay, anyways, we're back. So there was an article on there talking about mental health. And this is a huge topic we've all been hearing about for the last 5 or more years, like rightfully so. And there's some really cool tips on things to do to improve your mental health. And it just got me thinking, like, what have I done in the last few years or recently specifically that has helped my mental health? And it's crazy how fast this response came to me. But my first thought was I stopped looking at porn. Like, that was one of the best things I've ever done for my mental health. So to give you a little context, and like I said, I promise not to make this like weird. I'm not gonna be gross. I'm just gonna try not to be like a 12-year-old and giggle, but we're all adults here and we're just talking about real life stuff. So to give you context, you know, I probably looked at porn, I would say not every day, just like off and on, maybe more days than not at times, but through my late teens and into my early 20s, kind of up until the point I got married pretty much. So it was, you know, very vanilla, just to say plainly. I felt like it was the most innocent version of that I could do, and I didn't feel wrong. Like, I really didn't. I just know how normalized it is in culture, and I'll be honest, I also had some friends that were really into porn, and they made me feel like a very normal person, because those dudes are crazy. Freaks, maybe a little bit disgusting, but I don't know, it just didn't feel like that big of a thing, but I realized the turning point was when I got married, because me and my wife moved in together, and I had never lived with someone, like obviously my own wife, her, and had to keep this secret from her. Like, I guess I never was so obviously keeping a secret from her, and there was really nothing else. I mean, I'm very transparent, as you can see by the conversation we're having now. So you can imagine my wife hears every single thing that goes through my mind, stuff I would never say to anyone else. I mean, she is like, she gets it all, right? But I never talked to her about porn. In fact, there were times where I would look at it and like straight up have to hide it. And I started to feel like it was sort of a wall, and it felt kind of gross. And on an even more personal note, when I realized that is when it was so clear how it was affecting my relationship with God. And it just felt like it was becoming a real thing that brought guilt into my life, right? And so I was starting to kind of like try and stop here and there. And then when we got pregnant, I really realized, I was like, you know what? I feel like I want my son to look at me, you know, like I want to stand before my son, I guess, fully proud of who I am, because I know I'm not perfect, but when I have these obviously glaring things that I know are an issue for me, I need to address it. And I just don't feel like I'm there yet. Like, I want to be able to look at myself in the mirror and just feel proud of what I'm seeing back at me, you know, internally. And so before we get into the rest of this conversation, I want you to know I'm really not judging anybody for looking at porn. I know how normal it is, and I'm not saying that's okay, but I'm also not saying I think anything less of you. If you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, oh, that's me, because I really get it. I truly do. But this is kind of my experience, and it has, I'm going to tell you how it's helped me mentally right now, but it is just mind-blowing, actually, how much it's really changed my brain. So basically, I got to a point where I was like, okay, I have to stop. I'm not ready to tell my wife yet. I feel like I need to have it under control before I bring it up, because the last thing I want to do is tell her that this is something I'm struggling with and then have these issues with it and have to bring her into that whole guilt process, you know? And so basically, I got to a point where I went a few months without looking at it, and I would even at times go a month and then look at it again, and I'd be like, well, here I am back at square one, you know? And so I went a few months, my son was actually born, and I was starting to feel good, and I had this weird opportunity, I remember one time, that it kind of came up organically. Like, we were already almost talking about it, and it was very easy for me to get into the conversation, and I was worried that she would, you know, have a bad reaction, because, I mean, dude, my wife is an angel, an absolute angel, like the most pure-hearted person I have ever met. So I didn't know if she would think I was gross. I didn't know what she would think, and I was a little worried. But it felt so good to like tear down that wall between us. And as I brought that down, I felt like it brought it down between myself and God. I felt like it, at that point, I was already proud of not looking at it for so long. And it was just extra motivation to do it, you know, but you still get so tempted, right? And it was funny because looking back in hindsight, I remember a few years before I'd read this book, and it's Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. It's like the top selling, I guess, self-help book out there. And he has a whole chapter, this is crazy, on transmuting sexual energy into work and how basically you can use that to your advantage. And that is exactly what happened. I kid you not. This was a time where I was trying to grow Dialed Health, and I had also quit racing. And I remember when I had quit racing, how much energy I was able to put into the business, like so much so, and it was so obvious to me that I remember thinking I could never go back racing as long as I'm in business like this, because I see now how much it takes away. You know, it's not just the time immediately in the event, it's the prep, it's the focus, it's all the training, it's all of it. And so in the same way, because I'm now not trying to find time to look at porn, or I'm not putting all this energy into scrolling, where you just, it's like torture. I know the feeling, like when you're scrolling and you just can't scroll fast enough and you never are really satisfied. And that's it. That's all, as far as it goes. And so when all of that energy was gone and I just let it go and I put it into actual work and other relationships and other positive things, it became so obvious. And another thing that was great was just my general like view of the world had totally changed. I mean, honestly, way more PG. It's kind of what you'd expect, but in the same way we almost, I don't want to say we joke about being desensitized through like video games and how movies have gone and things are pushing the limit, but it is very true. Like when you go a long period of time without looking at porn, I'll just say from my perspective, as a heterosexual male, I started looking at women differently. I started having less just like, honestly, like sexual thoughts throughout the day. And for me, being like a married man, this was something that was very beneficial because, you know, there's a lot of things you want to have sex with. It's true, right? So for me, it was like, okay, like if I'm just generally less sexual in a way, that's okay with me, because it's not like I'm very lucky to obviously be married and, you know, have that as an outlet, but I'm not obsessing over it, you know? And I'm looking at people just more in a real way, I guess. It just was like this awesome filter. So as you can imagine, the relationship I have with my wife improved a lot, both physically, mentally, and that barrier I had between myself and God, which is very important to me, came down. I just felt more proud of myself as a man and as a father. And when I look at all those things together, I'm like, that is a mental hack right there. Like, that's some real deep stuff you almost need to get into to really improve your mental health. And I think we could do all these surface level reminders that are important throughout the day for motivation, staying positive. We need these reminders. But I bring this up and I'm, you know, I don't want to say this is risky talking about this on my podcast and making it a part of Dialed Health, but I bring it up because it had that much of an impact on my life. And, you know, I just want to be, I don't want to hold that in for myself, I guess. I felt like it was a responsibility as this topic came up to just be transparent with you guys about that, because I think it could help you out a lot too if you feel like you're in a similar place. I'm not assuming that you are. I just wanted to put it out there and present it. Now, there is one more thing I want to talk about that is a lot more triggering, and I'm just going to prepare you. If you feel a little shook by this conversation, it's a good time to end it because this gets a little bit real. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because this was something that really put the nail in the coffin for me as far as just like getting rid of this habit. And that was when I really learned, and this was a little over a year ago. And so, like, of course, I was kind of tempted throughout the time, never gave back in, thankfully. But this was the kicker. I listened to an episode of the School of Greatness podcast, and it had this guy named Total Badass. His name's Tim Ballard, and he is on a, he's involved in this private company now. He used to work for like the FBI. You got to listen to the episode. It's insane. I'll leave it in the show notes, but basically he fights human trafficking. And he brought up this statistic that blew my mind. It was shocking. And I can't remember the exact number, but it was like, if you at all look at porn or have ever looked at porn, there's an 80% chance that you actually watch someone who is being sex trafficked and they're against their own will. And it was probably a minor too. And when I heard that, and obviously I'm just giving you the big statistic that he threw out, he had a lot of supporting evidence, and this guy's the real deal. He really gets it. I mean, he is as involved with solving this problem as anyone else in the world. And so I know it's like a shocking number, but that hit me. I was like, oh my gosh, like what am I doing? Because it was like the reality of what a click, the power that a click can have. You know, when you are just clicking on a website, it feels so innocent and it feels so separated from what the actual action is. But those clicks are actually a driving demand to a real product, if you want to look at it in that sense. And you're, you know, driving demand to a market. And that's just the reality. I don't bring it up to try and make you feel bad, but you could argue with, you know, you could argue with it. You'd say whatever you want to make yourself feel better. But for me, I was like, this is real. This is really happening. And that guilt has honestly kept me from looking back at it because it feels so gross. And I can't think of anything else in the world that's worse than that whole situation. So I'm just bringing it up. It's food for thought. You can do your own research. I know that as you do more research, you'll find new resources. They're not going to dispute what I just said, but they're going to give you a lot more context and really help answer questions. There's an awesome Instagram account called Fight the New Drug. You know, it's a little repetitive. It's like a little bit more focused for younger people, honestly, I would say, just based off their marketing. But it's really cool. It's just all anti-porn and statistics like that and resources. I can even leave a link to their website as well for you to go and do some research. So again, it's like that guilt honestly was enough for me to really stop the habit, and I'm happy for that. I'm grateful for that, and it's really made me passionate about this area that I'd really like to do. You know, I'd really like to have impact in one day, if not in the near future. But I bring it up to you just so that you're aware and not to just pinpoint something to have guilt over, but just to tell you what the real reality is behind a click and what's really happening. So anyways, that's the whole conversation. Thank you so much for listening to it. I don't want to end it at all on a downer note. I just, you know, we're all adults here and we could talk about real adult issues. I'm not afraid to hide from what's going on in the world, and this is a very, very real thing. So I hope it helped. I hope it was, if anything, encouraging for you. Or, you know, if you don't care at all, which I also understand, you could, you know, maybe it helps you self-reflect in another area that just kind of is coming up in your brain right now. So that being said, we'll jump into the outro. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Dialed Health Podcast. I really hope it adds some value to your week. I want to give a special thank you to everyone who's left a Google review in the last couple of weeks. People are doing it and I really appreciate it because, like I mentioned, it's not something I can do for myself and it adds a ton of value to the business. So if you could go to my Google page, leave a 5-star review. I actually honestly need to go update some photos and information on there, but if you could go there now and leave a 5-star review and just say something positive about the website specifically, that would be incredible. Even if you just want to talk about the podcast, that's totally great too. Or you can leave a review at the podcast app. And lastly, if you are not yet a member of dialedhealth.com, please go sign up. We're putting incredible content on there to make sure cyclists like you are supported in your strength training so that you can have a better experience on the bike. My goal is to make it digestible and simple, something that you can implement consistently on a year-round basis, because we know that consistency wins. So I hope you have an incredible week. Let me know if you have any specific questions. You can email me derek@dialedhealth.com. That's derek@dialedhealth.com. And I hope you have an incredible week.